Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Jake Gibb. You're in the net live.
This is Taiba Hanif Park, and you are in the net live.
Aloha, this is Mike Lambert, and you are in the net live.
Loy Ball, and you're on the net live.
Ryan Malar, you're in the net live.
Hey, this is Heather Ballin, and you're live in the net. Nope, that was totally wrong.
Hey, this is Karch Kira, and you're in the net live with Willie and Barney.
All right.
Is Patterson in the house?
Yes. The Net Live, ladies and gentlemen. 26th of April. Welcome in Monday. We are excited that you are here. It has been a great weekend. It's been a fun week. A lot of interesting stuff in the world of volleyball has gone on. We're going to recap it all for you right here. We have myself and Dan here in the Redondo Beach home court. Chris Geeter-McGee, unavailable. His team taking gold yesterday at the girls' JO qualifier, and he skipped out on us.
He's stuck on a plane or something.
No, they're celebrating. They're still celebrating.
No, they were celebrating last night. I talked to Geeter on the phone. I'll tell you what. Geeter says he's going to call in.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to mention that his partner in crime, Tim Jensen.
He always has to mention Tim. It's a standard prop.
Tim wants to be on the show, and I forget the threat that he gave me on the phone last night. But it was 11 p.m., and who knows what time it was wherever they were. And they were giddy. So
Tim is threatening. We'll see if that works on us.
Threatening me. So let's get him on the
personally.
Show.
Oh,
let's
okay.
Get him on.
We don't want you getting nervous. The Siberian outpost is occupied by Reed Pretty. Welcome, Mr. Pretty, who is in the middle of playoffs.
That's right. Here in Russia, I tell you, I tweeted this about an hour ago. It's like 80 degrees here.
No.
And I'm serious. We wake up one morning and we just skip right over spring, and it's like immediately summer. So it's the landscape has changed. The snow has melted, and I was shirtless in Siberia today. It was a good day.
What is the actual temperature?
Today it was like 26 degrees Celsius. You do the math.
Oh,
went, wow.
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
I just want
it's in the 80s.
Oh my goodness. That's beautiful over there.
Literally 80.
Wow. No,
you know, what's gnarly too, is they don't use salt here. They use dirt to, for the roads.
Right.
And so as soon as that first melt happens, it's the dirtiest, the most disgusting city, but everyone's so stoked to be outside. It's like La La Land. Everyone's just happy and wearing t-shirts and high-fiving each other on the streets, total strangers. And but it's so dusty that everyone like breaks out in like the gnarliest acne you've ever seen. And so everyone waits for that first rain to come and wash all that dirt away. But it's
they don't have street sweepers. No other way to get rid of that. You got to wait for nature to take its course. Come on.
Yeah.
Can you do gnarly e-brake slides down the roadway if you're on complete dusty dirt?
I still have diamond encrusted or whatever those are, the snow tires.
Oh, nice.
So I'm not sliding anywhere. I'm like, it's like having cleats on.
And you have a personal driver, don't you?
Not this year.
Oh.
All right, Reed, we'll get to your playoffs in just a second. Important things first. How are the puppies?
The puppies have it's been a week. They're a week old.
Yeah.
And I was gone for 4 days. So we had somebody come to the house and just check on them. But they've literally grown like 250%. Oh, more than doubled in size in 1 week. It's absolutely amazing.
So you still have two, the two that made it out of the initial birthing process. You still have those guys?
I still have them, Barney. And I'm not quite sure where you're going with this, but don't try to act like the nice, sensitive guy after last week's comment.
Well, I reviewed last week's show, and we were really treading on the edge. We had Ambien drug use. We had puppy soup. You know, some guy called in and talked about it was hot in his pants, Aaron Walker. So, yeah, it was definitely a sketchy, sketchy program. For those of you that were tuning in, it was not family-friendly. We'll do our best this week to make it a little bit better. Reed, what... you know, tell us about your playoff experience. I had an opportunity to watch match number one on, I believe it was Friday morning. Is that Friday morning our time or Saturday morning our time?
Friday, yeah.
Friday morning, and you guys won that match 3-2 in the fifth, correct?
Correct.
And then you came back the next night, and what happened?
The next night, we lost in five. The short answer to that, we lost 15-13 in the fifth. There was I'm trying like crazy to get this video to compress to put on the website because I want you guys to see the three calls that were made in the fifth set. The ref became the story in the fifth set. But for sure, it was our match to lose sets one through four. We can blame nobody but ourselves. You can't take plays off. Just like what Geeter asked last week, this is a big deal. I think it's a very special thing to fight to get into a championship series. And it just seemed like there were times where our team just looked disengaged. And to come away 2-0 from playing away two away matches would have been absolutely huge. And I still think we'll take the one. We have to take the 1-1 split and come back to our place on Wednesday night, Wednesday and Thursday night. And hopefully we can take care of business. But, yeah, it was definitely a bummer to end with the ref getting involved.
Yeah, I had a chance to check it out there on sportbox.ru. It was fun. Live streaming, Russian commentators, but a blast to watch you and David Lee out there. And one of the things I wondered was, do all the teams in the league have to use the Russian flag colors on their jersey? Are you allowed to use anything else?
I think it looks more like Bulgaria. It's like the yeah.
But it's your green and red, they're red and green. Or
we have the same sponsor, that's why.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. So we're fighting over cash right now. This is not just about championships. We're fighting over cash to the death.
Well, okay, I want to note also, is anyone there purple? Can you have a purple jersey in Russia?
I don't know that we have a purple, but I did enjoy getting your play-by-play via email after the match. That was awesome. And you were right on virtually all points.
Yeah, your opposite was terrible through match number one in the beginning part. He was just ugly.
You're going to say that on the air? I mean, couldn't we leave that one in the email?
Not good. He was not good. He needed to be taken out. They took him out, but then as I sent you an email later, I was glad to see he came back and finished off the match. Got a nice kill. It's good to see players always do that. Who get subbed out. I've been there myself where you have a bad match. It's not going well. You go to the bench. You're like, great. Is this how this is going to end? Get a chance to go back in, finish off a match with a kill. That's a good... definitely a good feeling as a player. Dan, what
do you want?
What have you been doing?
Writing trivia.
Okay. Websites? You've been doing any websites? What have you been doing all week?
You know what I did this morning, which is why I was late to your house? I was designing a save the date for John Mayer's wedding.
Nice.
Yeah. It looks awesome. Nice. It's the best thing I've ever done.
I'm going to see John Mayer at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh.
Coming up here not too long.
You going with Hans Stolfus, who blogs about it all the time?
Well, I don't know. Is Hans going to talk the entire time?
Hey, I don't know. No, he'll write about it. He'll be writing at some point. Hey, so have you ever been to Venice Beach? Like, been there, like the boardwalk section, like Muscle Beach and the basketball courts and the.
I have lived in Southern California a combined 9 years, and no, never.
You have to go. It is the most awesome experience I've ever had. I went there yesterday, and like. There's people on the corner, like, trying to get you legal to buy weed and, like,
nice.
Like every single block right
yeah.
now.
Lots of glaucoma in Venice.
Yeah, yeah. And then there's, like, the guys in muscle the weightlifting gym, the Muscle Beach Park.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome. And then there's this...
How awesome is that, Dan? Talk about it.
Oh, man. They have such big muscles. No, and then there's a skate park with these, like, 2-foot-tall, like, 7-year-old skaters who are just shredding and just jumping, doing all these crazy things. I could watch that for a day. Then there's, like, big, huge, fat old guys dancing on balance beams to, like, dance music.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, Lady Gaga. And, you know, you can use your imagination. What else is going on there?
Dan, awesome. You know, I'm just happy to hear you sound excited and be enthralled by something other than beach volleyball. I'm kind of stoked on that.
That weird things and my own design work. Those are the three things that I'm enthralled by.
Your own design work? You're enthralled with
yeah.
yourself?
Yeah.
Or do you refer to yourself in the third person ever?
No.
Boy, Dan designed this really nice.
No.
Dan's a heck of an artist.
Yeah, and the only other thing that's been going on is Geeter calling me at 11 o'clock at night.
Threatening you.
With
bodily harm?
Yeah. Well, Tim Jensen threatening me, who sounds exactly like Geeter. It's crazy. If we swapped him, you'd have no idea.
Really? He could be like the stand-in?
Yeah. I had to tell him. I was like, hey, man, you sound exactly like Geeter. He's like, what?
Oh,
no way.
No
way, bud.
It's a little
scratchy. Come on, bud. I don't sound like Geeter, bud. Come on.
He's not afraid to drop a few buds on you. I like
boys
that.
And girls, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, we didn't get to it last week, but we have to have an Eagles flag football update.
Yeah, we need it.
Yeah. Last week we faced a team that was 5-0, leading the league, and hadn't been scored on. And while we didn't win, we did score on them. We put 8 points on them. Big-time run. Reese Barnett, 70 yards for the touchdown. I won't mention that we ran
70 yards. You use a full-size football field?
80 yards they use.
Okay.
Yeah, they use 80 yards out of it. They play on the MiraCosta football field. It's a beautiful field. Well, it's awesome to be able to play on a facility like that. But, yeah, Reese Barnett went for a touchdown. It was fun. Team played really well. We completed our first pass. We had an interception. Played a good game. We got kind of, you know, like Reed, the refs were not on our side. We had a bogus pass interference call. Cost us. Alone.
Love it.
I was trying.
Were you throwing clipboards and just going crazy, F-bombs?
No F-bombs. I did trot out with the offense only to find out that we were still on defense. That was tragic. But anyway, good game. And then this week, not so good. We faced the second-best team in the league, who I actually think is better than the Seahawks. They just haven't played each other. This was the Colts. They pounded us 45-0. It was brutal. But I asked the coach, I said, how long have you guys been playing? Well, we started with this team a year ago. We played in the spring, we played in the fall, and we played again this spring. But dude, we started like 2 months ago.
excuses.
Oh, my goodness. We got crushed. Our team did not play well. But we have upcoming Chargers and Vikings. We should be able to beat one of those teams so we don't go Detroit Lions style for the season. That's what concerns me.
So we haven't talked about it on the show, but speaking of the Eagles, we know you're a diehard Eagles fan. What do you think of the trade of Donovan McNabb?
Yeah, I'm surprised we've forgotten about this. Donovan, not appreciated through his entire career. Not at all. I'm surprised they didn't throw D batteries at him personally. Gosh, I hate to see them get rid of him. I know why they do it, because the Eagles, similar to the Patriots, they just don't like to pay those big veteran contracts all the way to the end and not get anything back, and they felt like they could get something for him. They got a second-round pick. I don't. We'll see how that all pans out. But Kevin Cobb, I mean, he started out better than any other quarterback in history with his back-to-back first two starts over 300 yards. So they believe that he's the guy, and they can put Vic in there in the Wildcat and just see what happens. If you can keep throwing the ball down the field accurately to DeSean Jackson, we're going to be in good shape. It's going to be another Super Bowl season for the Eagles.
If DeSean Jackson doesn't throw the ball into the stands before it gets into the end zone.
Easy as 2 years ago.
He did it in high school.
Okay, I was like
just throwing the ball away.
That was one of the dumber moves I've ever seen. And yeah. Brian Westbrook helped him out in that play. Unbelievably stupid. Hey, we have some big news here on TNL and TVN. We have an intern coming.
No.
For the summer. Yes, Dan, that's right.
Yeah. Legit right there.
Legit.
I mean, we just took a step.
Alex Kelly, the Atlantic Sun Player of the Year in college. She's between her junior and senior season. She's going to be arriving here May 17th. Working for us.
Sweet. Well, is she going to write trivia?
She can write trivia. She's going to be doing dates. She's going to be doing some videos. I've been struggling with music for the Nicole Brannett video. I don't know what to put on there. I'll just show it to you.
I'm every woman.
Dan's like, she's not getting a mic, is she?
Yeah, we're going to replace Dan with her.
Crap.
She's taller, blonder.
Hmm.
She has better hair.
How'd this happen?
She's looking for an opportunity. She's a marketing major. And been looking for an opportunity to utilize some of that and get some experience during the summer, and have been brought up with Brandon Rosenthal, who's a good friend of the show, friend of mine, head coach at Lipscomb University, had expressed some interest in it, and now we've made it happen. She's going to live at my in-laws, which should work out nicely, up there by the pool, hang out and have a very Southern California summer. So we're going to send her out to do interviews of all the biggest people in volleyball, which I think is great. She is legitimately a very good player. She's in a middle conference, middle to low conference, but she is a very good player. She's a player of the year, wants to play professionally, indoor, perhaps beach. This is a great chance for her to come out and get in touch with the beach community. I mean, Dan, imagine when you're in college, all of a sudden you come out and somebody tells you, all right, you're going to get to interview Karch, you're going to get to interview Kent, I'm stuck in the past. You need to interview Phil and Todd and talk to Misty and Carrie. I mean, that would be unbelievable for you, wouldn't it?
It would be unbelievable for me now.
Oh, we haven't sent you on enough things? We got to send you on more interviews.
Yeah. I haven't interviewed Karch yet. I kind of know Karch, which is awesome. You know what? Everything's faded off. I'm totally cool with Karch now.
Yeah.
No, I'm not fazed by anything.
Your association with this program might hurt that. I don't know.
I know.
Or just me personally, perhaps. Can we play up the Barnett Karai feud? Can we create something like that? We had to make Karch angry, which I don't think we've done yet, but maybe.
Oh, Karch can't get angry, man. Karch is too cool.
No, he's big time. Can't get rattled by some peon named Barnett. Come on.
Not unless it's a thrown set in like the third set of the Colorado Open. Does Karch get mad?
Then he's going to get upset?
Yeah. Or the Belmar Open final. Was that where it was?
No, it was 1989 Rhode Island. Caught that one on AVP. That was the AVP Classics. That was a good one. Let's talk about the NFL draft. We touched on it briefly. Did you watch it at all, Reed? Do you have any touch with it over there in Russia?
Sling? I followed it. I wasn't able to watch it, but I definitely followed it via various NFL Network tweets and sure. ESPN updates, et cetera. And it's amazing to me that it's become prime time. Would it start on Thursday night?
Yeah.
Primetime TV.
It dominated the day. It interrupted, pardon the interruption, and around the horn. Got rid of all that programming. Got rid of SportsCenter programming.
It's ridiculous.
The whole Jimmy Clausen thing, I think, was one of the most. It's like the movie you don't want to watch. That's like, Meet the Parents. It's so awkward, but you got to watch it anyway.
Is it similar to Brady Quinn? Brady Quinn sat in the green room. Clausen, did he attend? I saw an interview later with Aaron Andrews.
No, Aaron Andrews was at his house.
Right, at his house. But he stayed home. He wasn't sitting in the green room all the way through the draft like Brady Quinn was a couple of years ago, correct?
Right, yeah. It's so weird to me that in that sport, it's all about timing. I remember Danny Farmer, who played both varsity volleyball and varsity football, obviously, for UCLA,
right.
I remember the speculation was he was going to be a first rounder coming out of his junior year. Decided to stay a third year, played volleyball. I think I don't know if they won the national championship that year or it was the year before, but he ended up having everybody over his house and ended up going, I think, in the second round. I'm not quite sure when he went, but I knew it wasn't on that first night. And that's just rough when you've got the talent to be a first rounder one year, but it's all timing and I don't know. It just seems like a rough deal.
It depends on who else is coming out, how they parse your statistics throughout the year, how you did at the combine. There's so many different things that go into it.
It happens on an even greater scale in basketball, like NBA. Like if you're
really, you think it's more?
Oh yeah, if you're a good player as a freshman, you don't come out, probably aren't going to get drafted as high. That's what happened with Chase Budinger.
Well, had he come out before last year?
That's the best example, but. Yeah, there's guys who could have come out and gone lottery picks as a freshman, and then they stay like two more years and they don't even get drafted. Chris Thomas is an example from Notre Dame a couple of years ago.
Okay. Yeah. I'll believe that.
Yeah.
Do you think that this kind of draft would work for volleyball? Reed, you had that thought. What do you think?
I think that I would prefer it's definitely entertaining.
Are we
definitely entertaining?
For national team, or because we don't have a
no. This would have to be for a pro league. I'm guessing, but I don't like the money structure for the NFL. I just think it's wrong that you give a rookie quarterback. He'll be the highest paid guy in the locker room, pretty much.
$50 million guaranteed. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean that'd be like if you've got long term vets, gold medalists on the national team. Let's say the national team was a pro team, and a guy like Matt Anderson or Sean Rooney's coming out of college. Highly decorated, for sure going to be the first pick of the draft, and you're going to give him, and they're going to be the highest paid player in the locker room. There's something wrong with that, and that's why I like the rookie salary cap in the NBA. I think that's a better system. But in terms of entertainment, the NFL, the draft is definitely entertaining.
Yeah, it's beating out the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I think the draft, the way that they did it was interesting. It created a whole new opportunity because you watch the first round. Then you have 24 hours to wait. You have 24 hours to see what the possibilities are. The teams can talk and look at trades, and there's all this different chatter about it. The NFL is, an amazing marketing machine. They generate chatter about their sport. That's one thing our sport doesn't do. There's no chatter about it, aside from this lovely program. But there's just no talk about what the possibilities are, and you have to hear a lot of stuff kind of secondhand or third hand, or you get it from just some unreliable source on the internet, and that's it. There's no definite information out there immediately for a lot of what's going on.
There's Twitter and there's Facebook.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
It's getting better.
And there's Barney's updates on the volleyballnetwork.com.
There you go.
Ba-boom.
Hey, I know that, Reed, you touched on the fact these guys are highly paid, but it's happened in volleyball a little bit. As soon as Korea opened and you had Sean Rooney come straight out of college, who out-earned many national team players in his first season, and then you had Matt Anderson do the same thing, and he's out-earning several national team players who have, you know, played seasons internationally, and here he never has. I think you do see it happening a little bit in volleyball with some of that stuff as the college players have gotten more exposure.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's an asterisk there because I think everyone knows that Asia is not very strong. So I think it would be a different deal if right out of college, the top player or players are going straight to Russia and earning the highest salary, and it's untested, unproven. You know what I thought was interesting? How much the term character was thrown around in this particular draft, especially attached to guys like Tim Tebow. And I'm wondering, if you guys were choosing a team, what kinds of things would you guys be looking for? Talent or character or what? I mean, there's so much testing that went on. What would you guys be looking for?
I'm looking for a blend of both. I think you so rarely find someone who has extreme talent and extreme character, like a Joe Montana is a guy I think of who has impeccable character and was a champion. But I think so many times we ask football players to be one thing on the field and be something else off the field, and it just doesn't happen. You can't be that effective at that sport and not have it also enter other parts of your life. If you're a linebacker and your job is to kill people, you know, every Sunday, I don't understand how that somehow doesn't translate into what they do during the week. I think it's sort of a double standard with a lot of the players. And you're going to have problems with these guys outside of their sport.
Dan,
do you have any thoughts on this? I see you staring at USA Volleyball site.
Yeah. No, well, I'm thinking, like, if I were a football general manager, it'd be a lot different choosing athletes than if I were a volleyball general manager, because football, you can be pretty raw, and you can learn a position pretty quickly, and if you're really athletic, you can get by. But like, if you're really athletic in volleyball and you're already at pro level, like if you don't have the skills, you're not going to develop them. You know, you don't develop as easily in volleyball as you can in football. Football.
You think
easy.
So?
Yeah.
Really?
I mean,
I disagree.
There's guys who played in the NFL who didn't even play high school football. They only played like 3-4 years
only
of football.
There's only a couple of guys like that, though. There's plenty of guys who play volleyball the same way, who never played high school volleyball. I'm sitting right next to you. I played 1 year. I played 3 months and then was on the national team in 5 years. So I don't think that's an accurate comparison. I think any sport, if you have the athleticism, you can pick up the other parts of the sport. They always talk about the stuff you can't teach. You can't teach height. You can't teach speed. You can't teach a vertical jump.
Well, I would take an athlete. I would be more inclined to take an athlete in football than I would in volleyball. I would take the skill in volleyball.
Reed, 30 seconds. Give us your thoughts.
I would love for us to have a pro league to actually be able to flesh this out and be in a position where we could actually try to piece teams together. But I think that's the key, is you got to figure out what you want, what you're trying to build around. And just like I remember Hugh having to make some really tough decisions with the Olympic team and coaches before him, that you got to figure out who's the best team, not necessarily who are the best players individually, you know, who fit together. And that's what I would be looking at. And especially here in Russia, if I'm picking a team here in Russia, I would try to pick the 12 hardest workers in the entire league. And I would totally disregard skill, height, anything. I would only pick the hardest workers, and I would guarantee success.
All right. When we come back, I want to talk about AVP and some of the comps they put up on their first broadcast along these same lines. You're listening to the Volleyball Network. The Net Live. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us. Hey parents, do you know about the USYVL, the United States Youth Volleyball League? Having taught over 100,000 kids ages 7 to 15 the sport of volleyball, the league's proven techniques, super fun approach, and self-esteem lifting methods are unmatched. Truly, volleyball starts here. For more information about the league and programs in your area, visit usyvl.org. That's usyvl.org.
Hey, Reed.
Yeah, Dan.
Hey, if I wanted to call in and talk to you guys, what would I have to do?
Well, first you'd have to have something meaningful to say.
I can do that.
And then you want to probably scale that down to about 20 seconds.
Done.
And then you want to pick up the phone and dial 347-677-1525.
So I can call 347-677-1525 and say, Reed Pretty, you're my favorite volleyball player ever.
Now, Dan, when you say that, are you making fun of me? Or, is the joke on me? I don't get it.
Get off the bench, sub yourself in, pick up the phone and call.
The Net Live will not be held responsible for opinions and ideas expressed by others.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com. If you want to get in on the conversation, 347-677-1525 is the number. We will take your call. We will talk to you and address anything you want to talk about in volleyball or sports in general. If you want to email us too, thenetlive@gmail.com. That's our email address, so drop us a line, thenetlive@gmail.com. Right before we went to break, we were talking about athletes and their ability. What were we talking about? Yeah. Athletes and their abilities in different sports, and Dan was talking about developing players in football versus volleyball. I thought that the comps were pretty interesting on the AVP broadcast from last week. Some of the comps they put up about 40-yard dash times and vertical leaps and some of the other wingspans and whatnot they had up there. One caught me. Okay, Nick Lucena's 40-yard dash time, they're saying that it was faster than one of the fastest guys in the NFL.
No, it was 2/10 slower.
What was it, like a 4.4 or 4.6? What was it?
4.4.
4.4. If Nick Lucena runs a 4.4, why is he playing volleyball? And who timed him, first of all?
Yeah.
When was this done?
You know, I'm pretty sure a lot of people had a reaction to that one. 4.4 is that's faster than running backs, like, coming out of the draft. Like,
I saw a 4.28 on one of the draft guys, which is an obscene time, ridiculously fast.
I don't really believe any 40 times that I see.
How about Nick Lucena? Timed him?
No offense, I definitely don't believe that one. But he, you know, I was talking to Billy about this, and he's like, you know, he does work out at a place that would have his 40 time. They would time him that. And he's really
okay,
quick.
I want to see it. We're going to send Alex Kelly down.
He's 30 years old.
Nick, if you're listening,
He's 30 years old. He's not running a 4.4. The guys who are 21, 22 out of the draft, who are defensive backs, are barely running that.
I want some proof.
Yeah.
Nick, we're going to send Alex Kelly, our intern, down at the end of May to wherever you want to go, wherever you want to run this 40. Velocity, I don't care. Hacks, wherever you are.
Santa Barbara.
If you're going to run a 40, we're going to send Alex there, and we're going to time you. And we want an official video. We're going to do it. Going to happen. Call us, contact us, make it happen. Speaking of calling us, 949.
He's very fast, though.
He is fast. 4.4 is unbelievably fast. 949, you're on the air.
How's it going? This is Rob Aspero.
Hey, Rob Aspero.
Supposed to give a call in with the NCAA update, but didn't know if you guys were ready for me.
Well, geez, if I had your number right in front of me, I would have known. I'm just hoping somebody's calling in. We're just happy to hear from you. Rob Aspero, We heard from him last week. He works down at UC Irvine College. UC Irvine, he gave us a little bit of a preview of the MPSF playoffs last week. And now the first round has gone on. And unfortunately, the Pepperdine Waves lost. So I'm not sure we want to talk any more about that, do we?
Well, they did put out a pretty valiant effort in Hawaii. It's probably the most exciting match of the week, and it went five. And yep. They actually served for match point, and Hawaii just kicked it up. They couldn't stop Honus Umlauft, their big outside from Germany, who ended up with like 36-something kills. So
kills, yeah. I think he played in the professional leagues for the last five seasons, right? He's probably made $1 million, and now he's playing in the NCAA.
Yep. So, but they ended, unfortunately, on a service ace by Nate Zemliak, their setter, who had an awesome night as well. But if you're listening, it was such an exciting match to get the feel of Stan Sharif Center there in Hawaii. So kudos to Hawaii, but sorry for your Waves there, Barney.
Yeah, that was too bad. All right, talk to us about some of the other ones. You had number one Stanford matching.
Well, I was at that match, and, you know, Stanford is the team. Now, they are so powerful between Brad Lawson and Evan Romero, and then you got the Shoji brothers. They, between Kavika and Eric, Kavika's setter, he's just such an intelligent setter. He had eight kills on jams or in dumps, no errors, hitting 727 just on the dumps. And you had Eric Shoji with 18 digs, is all over the place. And Evan Romero, 24 kills, hit 347. He was on fire and unstoppable. So, and Costi, whenever Irvine would be making a push, because Irvine started out down in each of the sets but would come back, Costi would take that timeout without even letting them get anywhere near the Stanford's lead. So, give kudos to Costi as well.
I know Stanford was getting referred to as Hawaii East or something.
Yeah.
I had a chance to watch the end of the Hawaii Pepperdine match, and they were talking about the number of Hawaiian players that have left to go play for Stanford. And who are performing well.
Yeah, they got a bench full of Hawaiians that just fill in the spots as well. So, yeah, they are an incredible team, and it's going to be hard to stop them, being that they're going to be at home for the MPSF semifinals, and then, again, they're hosting the NCAA Final Four. So it's hard to go against Stanford at this point.
That's going to be a tough one. Now, for the next one, we're kind of sad that Geeter's not here, because the Ridge, Northridge, took care of business.
Yes, they did. And Jack Bratajczyk had 19 kills, but you know he's their 7-2 middle blocker from Poland. I guess USC, after getting beaten pretty badly in the first set, they lost 30-17. Came back and made it a battle in the second and third. The final scores of the second and third were 33-31 and then 31-33. So, you know, they were coming back in, but I think CSUN was just too much for USC. You know, Matt Stork had 52 assists, and there are four hitters that hit double digits. So when you got that going on for your squad, you're going to be pretty unbeatable.
Yeah, Matt Stork, of course, the son of Jeff Stork, longtime national team member, gold medalist. All right, so then BYU also advanced. The top four seeds from the MPSF all advanced through the first
round. Yeah, no upsets, which I guess is kind of a bummer, but hey, if you're supporting the team, hey, great job to your team. They played the numbers for sure. UCLA was just outgunned. You know, they had BYU had three hitters in double digits, and they basically out-hit UCLA for the match, 364 to 307. But what's big is Futi Tavana, the middle for BYU, had a seven block assist and a solo. And Rob Stoll ended up going off on UCLA, their opposite, the San Juan Capistrano kid, he's definitely picked up a ton of muscle and has a really big arm swing, had 18 kills and hit 300. And for UCLA, Garrett Wongkutia, who's just, you know, a great player, it just wasn't enough to take care of business against the Cougars up in Provo.
Well, all right, this weekend now we have two matchups coming up, Stanford versus Hawaii. This begins on Thursday evening, correct?
That is correct.
And BYU versus Northridge.
That is correct.
So talk to me about these two matchups. Give us Stanford-Hawaii first.
Stanford-Hawaii. So you're going Hawaii versus Hawaii East. Hawaii is playing good ball, and it's hard to take anything away from them, and Coach Wade has done an incredible job. You know, between Honus Umlauft and Nate Zemliak, they are playing awesome. As it's, going to be tough for them to come into Stanford and take on Hawaii East. Evan Romero has really elevated his game in the last three matches for Stanford. And when he's going on, it opens it up a lot more for Lawson out of the back row. So, you know, they can go to him, to Lawson, and, you know, between Kavika and his setting, it's just tough. They're running, they're executing, and the coaching has been there for Stanford as well. So all those factors are just, it's looking really good for the Cardinal this year. You know, I think the X factor, what's that?
The Cardinal.
The X factor for Stanford is if they get even just a little bit more production out of their middles, they're going to be unstoppable.
Okay, so they need to pass the ball well against Hawaii, who is a fairly decent serving team, my understanding. Can keep people off the net pretty well.
You know, Eric Shoji, though, their libero and brother to Kavika, he was impressive on defense this week, and he was just scrapping all over the place, picking up balls, but his passing, he passes with such confidence in all the rotations. So, you know, serve away from him if they can, but, you know, it's been tough because it seems like he's all over the place.
All right, BYU versus the Ridge. Sounds like you have Stanford advancing. Now you have BYU Cougars versus the North Ridge.
You know, I have a feeling this one could go five. Both teams are coming on strong at this point. It's between the middles at McNiff and Ratajczak of Northridge. They're going to have to do some serious patrolling at the net in order to stop Stewart, Stowell, and Sagers on the BYU side. That could be a battle. That's a toss-up. That's going to be hard to call. And, you know, it's one of those that expect to be there long because you can see 33-31 scores the entire five sets. And it's going to be hard for me to take a pick on that one. I think if the Matador crowd comes in and heckles the heck out of the BYU guys, I think it could be a CSUN match. So get Geeter there.
Got to pick somebody, so give us somebody for that win.
Whew. I'll go with Northridge on that one.
Oh. Whoa, okay, because last week you picked Stanford, BYU, Penn State, and Ohio State for the National Final Four. If BYU loses to the Ridge, as you just predicted, will they still get the at-large bid, do you think, to enter the national championship?
Oh, wow. I was in discussion that with a bunch of guys this weekend, and that is going to be a tough one. You know, I would hate to be in that position, and I would think CSUN would get the nod if they beat BYU.
Okay.
So, it's going to be a no-brainer if BYU takes that match. It'll be Stanford with the automatic, and then BYU the at-large.
Okay, that's going on Thursday and then again Saturday. So by the time the show happens next week, we will have a champion and probably hopefully an at-large selection for the national championship. Have another quick question for you, Rob, before we let you go. We want to know, in college, of the players you've seen, who do you think can move on and really make an impact on the U.S. national team?
Ooh, the current players. Let's see. Who have I seen?
Umloft is good, and the Polish middle is good, but you know, those guys don't have any U.S. passports.
Yeah. You know, I'll have to go with Kavika Shoji right now in setting.
Really?
Yeah. As far as an outside, you know, there are some big hitters out there right now, and it's hard to get a sense of how they can perform at the international level until they actually get in the international level.
Right.
But, you know, we're definitely loaded at the outside position. At least they're level talent right now in the league. So if I had to go with one, I'd go with Andrew Stewart. His size, good swing, pretty decent passing. Another BYU guy on the national team. That's what we need.
Yeah, more Cougars. More Cougars, please. Anytime we can get that. Well, will you be attending the Final Four? Will you have an opportunity to see it?
Well, I will. I'm still working on plans for that, trying to get up there. I have a few you know, things that are going on in between. I may have to fly back and forth since I'm here in Southern California. I would have to fly up there. But I'll keep you guys updated if I can get on site and give you guys the update.
Terrific. Well, Rob, we appreciate you checking back in with us. Look forward to your further reports on the NCAA championship.
No worries. Sorry about the surprise call.
Good stuff. Rob Aspiro from UC Irvine here on the Net Live. Well, that's good information, I think, about what's going on. I had a few notes about the MPSF playoff that I thought was interesting. You know, the top four seeds, they made it through. After what was an unbelievably up and down season. You had Pepperdine start at 3, go to 11, back to 1, back down to 4, no, back down to 5. You had lots of teams were all over the place. Northridge, number 1 at one point, Stanford, number 1. But the top 4 seeds here at the end of the season have all taken care of it.
And if we were on SportsCenter, we'd know how often that's happened.
We would.
Random stats.
I could look it up. I have no idea where to find that info.
That's Alex Kelly's job. Her job grows every segment we have. She's going to have all the stats. Well, I watched the end of the Pep Hawaii match also, found it on the internet there. Enjoyed the last 10 minutes or so of the match. Saw an interview with Coach Charlie Wade. And what I was reminded of is that Hawaii is, in my opinion, the premier place to play volleyball in the United States. And I understand it hasn't been like that for the men until just this past year. Again, it was back when I played there. They've had sporadic support for the women. I've played in BYU in front of a packed crowd. I've played in Santa Barbara in front of a packed crowd. I've heard that Nebraska is unbelievable when they have a sold-out event for the women. But the energy and God, look and feel and sound of the gym is just awesome.
I'm glad to see that they're you know, Hawaiians that are doing well, because I remember when I played in college, the majority of UH was foreign.
They were.
And
they were all...
maybe the success of that team just inspired the next generation, and that's who we're seeing now. But it definitely was electric to play there. I mean, 10,000 people in the Stan Sheriff Arena, built for volleyball. It was an awesome time.
And you mentioned the foreign component. They talked about it in the interview afterwards, all the Hawaiian kids that are leaving Hawaii, great players, and going to places like Stanford or Hawaii or Pepperdine, places like that, and not staying home and playing at Hawaii. And that has been a problem. And they feel that maybe if Charlie Wade has really got the program on the right track and having success, and kids will choose to stay in Hawaii and bring some of that talent, because certainly their best player is Umloft, and he is German. And honestly, I still can't get past the fact, having played in Europe, having played volleyball there, that there's any way that any of these foreign players are eligible. If you have that kind of talent, you've been in the club system, you have gotten paid, and don't lie to me that you haven't. You've gotten black money somehow. There's no way you've been playing within the rules of the NCAA. It's a joke.
Speaking of getting paid, I want to segue into the BCS, but before I do, I feel like we need to be fair to our listeners and let them know that Dave Williams is not going to be making it today.
That's true. thank you, Reed. Yeah, Dave.
We tweeted that like crazy, and he's not going to be able to make it.
We promised Dave Williams, and we did not deliver Dave Williams today. So you get more of us. You get more of me, Reed, Dan. Well, maybe Reed and myself. We don't need any more Dan, do we?
Yes.
Of course.
Hey, I got an AVP update. Whenever you want to get to it, whenever.
We'll get there. It's a teaser right there. We'll get to it soon. But you guys saw that the BCS signed a new multi-billion-dollar contract, and it's all about the money. Barney, I know you have really strong feelings about this, but you're talking about the foreign players playing in the U.S. that have played professionally, and here you've got the BCS making money hand over fist. I'm starting to think that maybe we need to take our minds off of starting a pro league and get into the business of college volleyball.
I'll tell you what, the money is unbelievable. I mean, you're talking about, it was a $6 billion deal, and now it's an even bigger multi-billion dollar deal with CBS and Turner. And I just have to ask, I've said this on the program before, how this can exist. This is no different than slavery, in my opinion. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Look, when you're looking at landowners during the time of slavery, okay, they would argue that they provided a place to live, food to eat, and working skills for their workers. How is this different than providing room, board, and tuition, quote, experience learning in the classroom? How is that any different? I mean, it's exactly the same. Massive profits are going to the owners of the plantation, or in this case, the NCAA and the universities, and the workers who produce the product are being given a tiny fraction of what the overall business is. It's just ridiculous. And additionally, they're not giving anything that's transferable. They're not giving cash. You can't do anything with your, quote, skills if they're not good enough to go to the next level.
There's one big difference.
What?
These athletes don't have to do.
Where else are they going to apply their trade? Where else?
They don't have to play basketball.
Okay, true.
They don't have to play the sport. What do you mean?
They don't have to. That's true. That's true. But from a standpoint of profit sharing, I don't think it's any different. The people who produce the product are not being compensated in any fashion, anything near what is actually being produced by that product.
And they're choosing to do that.
They have no other choice.
Yeah, they do.
They do not.
What do you mean? They can go play overseas. They can go not play that sport. They can play that sport in a smaller role.
If they want to play the sport, they have no other choice. The overseas option is a small option. You saw Brandon Jennings do it, and he's done it with success, but it is a small option.
A lot of guys do it.
For a fractional group of people.
Yeah, I mean, the window's smaller for the players.
Hold on. We're not doing this. I'm shutting this down. We're getting rid of that. We're staying in here. I'm going to look at the screen
more often. No pre-programmed.
No. We're getting rid of all that pre-programmed garbage. We're staying here with more of us because I'm fired up. All right. Because here's what really bothers me about the whole thing is, okay, I'll even concede the argument. Not just for argument's sake, I will say, all right, fine. Tuition for playing, fine. Then the university goes and it sells jerseys with the number of their star player on it. I go to Texas. I can only buy a Colt McCoy jersey, a 12. It doesn't say McCoy on it. Everyone knows who it is.
Right.
I turn on the video game, and the video game has his face on the thing. It has his number on the thing. It acts like him on the game. It moves like him on the game. That's him.
Yeah, you're right. But I no one's forcing him to do that.
They're actually forcing him to give up those rights.
No. He's negotiated those rights.
No.
Right?
No, it's non-negotiable. If you want the scholarship, it's non-negotiable. You can't somehow retain your rights. That's what I'm saying, Dan. There is no flexibility in this system.
Okay, yeah. But what's going to change? Okay, what's your solution?
Well, it's interesting you ask, because the New York Times has picked up the story of the there's a licensing lawsuit going on. Ed O'Bannon from UCLA, if you guys remember him, the basketball
right.
star,
of course.
Has filed a lawsuit, antitrust lawsuit in July, and it seems to be progressing, and it's about the rights of, I think, royalties on jerseys as well as likeness in video games. And
correct.
I saw a tweet from Darren Rovell a few days ago from CNBC, sports business writer, and he was talking about that the outcome of this has this lawsuit has the ability to change the whole landscape of the whole deal. And it's true. I totally agree with you, Barney, that it just is out of balance. It seems a lot of people are getting rich off, you know.
Yeah.
There doesn't seem to be an equality here. Yes, they don't have to play, but you're selling what you're giving up, the way the system is. It just doesn't seem right. It seems out of balance.
It's almost like a usury issue. If you ask me, it's like getting a payday loan at 50% interest or 35% interest, because there is no other way for you to get that money. If you're a person who doesn't have credit, can't get an account, that kind of thing, you have no other place to get money, so you have to give up that percentage. There is no other place to play. If you are a college, if you are a football player or you are a basketball player, you cannot enter the pro leagues, as was done by, you know, fixed by Maurice Claret. He tried to get into the NFL early, could not. The NBA has a one-and-done policy now. You may not enter the pro leagues. You may not ply your trade anywhere except at these institutions, at the NCAA, and they are going to steal your identity. They are going to utilize your ability to make themselves billions of dollars. And this is something that has come about in the last 25 years, where the NCAA, basketball and football, have become huge businesses, and all they're trying to do is keep the profits on the top and not give them to the actual workers. This is not how it's always been. If you got a scholarship in the 70s, okay, there wasn't a huge deal from CBS. The university was actually getting more of a fair trade back and forth, education for representing the university. Now it's education for earning millions of dollars for the university, and it's completely out of balance.
I think a fair trade would be to give them a piece of royalties on jerseys. I saw a stat where they were talking about having Colt McCoy slip into the second round, I think, what did he go, in the 50s or 60s?
Yeah.
What he signed for a five-year contract, he would make more on jersey sales of royalties at Texas than he did as a pro, which is just gnarly to think of, that he has the ability to sell, that he is marketable, that he is selling things without getting anything in return, really.
Well, and he actually made it. I mean, good for him that he even had a shoulder injury, and he actually made it. He got drafted. He's going to get some guaranteed money. So many of these guys get used up, especially in football, but also in basketball. If you look at ACL tears or cartilage damage or some of these other things that happen, guys can have 3 years of great productivity, huge jersey sales, just a boon for the university, and then they get injured, and they get nothing. They walk away, right, they have the education, but that is not in any way an equitable compensation for what they've provided the university in those previous 3 years.
As much as I agree with you, I wonder that if they did have to start relinquishing, actually including the athletes, obviously volleyball is a subsidized sport. What impact would that have on volleyball? And I wonder if that would have a negative impact on volleyball, because the people who are used to making the majority of that, you know, multi-billion-dollar deal, they're not going to, you know, succeed at money. They're not going to leave money on the table. So the money that they're leaking to the other sports that are subsidized and aren't making money, I could see that being shut down and, you know, relocated into their pockets.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it could be bad for volleyball. I concede that point. But I still think that it's not fair to these athletes that are providing riches for a lot of universities and the NCAA itself. It's no accident that the NCAA has a gigantic building, a professional building, and controls and wields its power all over the place, whether you're talking about dealing with professional networks or conferences or whatever it is. It could have a bad effect on my sport, but I just don't feel that it's okay to have the athletes treated in the way they are, enriching people who are not providing the actual labor. Speaking of not fair,
no. I actually have uploaded the video from last night. It's on the website, thevolleyballnetwork.com. You'll see it at the middle of the page. It says, "The ref becoming the story. Did he get it right?"
Okay.
And so to our live listeners and to you guys, I want you to click on that link and watch the video and give me your thoughts. There's three plays there. Maybe when we come back from the next commercial break, we can talk about it.
Yeah, if you get a chance to watch it, give us a call, 347-677-1525. And give us your thoughts on that. I want to get to one questionable call before we go, and because Dan, I want his opinion on this. He hasn't been talking too much, and I want to hear him say something. More exciting game, beach or indoor?
Exciting? I don't know. I don't ever watch indoor, and I think the reason is because I don't really enjoy it. I'd much rather watch beach volleyball. The long rallies in indoor are pretty exciting, though.
Okay. Reed, you play both?
You're asking from a spectator?
Just your opinion. You could be a spectator, a player. Tell me your opinion.
Oh, I like both games equally. mean that. But as a spectator, I would much rather watch. It depends, too. Are we talking about on TV or live? I think the indoor game's a lot quicker. I like to see things happening fast. I get a little bit bored from the I really like beach volleyball at like after 16.
Okay.
But I'm not really a big fan of the roll shots and the cut and the precision that really only somebody who can appreciate the game of volleyball who's played it really understands that that's a really great shot, etc.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go with indoor. I think indoor is more exciting. It's better to watch. There's more going on, there's more people, but the beach, I said before, has a lock on atmosphere, for sure. There's no discussion. If I'm offered the choice to go sit in a gym on a beautiful day or go sit at the beach on a beautiful day, I am definitely going to the beach. And if we could have six man, six woman, six person on the beach, I'm going to say it again. That's it. That's where it's at.
Yeah. That's, you know, I don't disagree with that. Let's do it.
Let's have AVP versus national team. I want to see some people really get after it. All right, let's go to break. Take a little break here on the Net Live. We'll be right back with more great discussion, more questionable calls coming up, and today in beach volleyball history. We'll be right back here on the Net Live, volleyballnetwork.com.
So that was in.
My serious face. They were like, try to smile. I was like, I don't smile at the opponents on the other side of the net. Like, oh, ha. No, you want to kill them. But I think it's good you guys have a radio show.
Karch Ride.
Phil and Todd versus Karch and Kent. Who takes it?
I think Phil and Todd are the best in the world and would beat Kent and me, but in the old rules, I think Kent and I had that format pretty well down, and I think we'd have a slight edge.
Dan at the controls.
Thought we were muted. Good thing we didn't say anything bad about the fans during that, huh?
Oh my gosh.
Have we had our true feelings out on the air? That could have been trouble.
Just about anything goes.
We're going to have a karaoke session later. Danny said he wants to do Tiny Bubbles.
Was that even a good championship? It wasn't good. We've already forgotten about it.
The Net Live on thevolleyballnetwork.com, Mondays at 5.
All right, welcome back into the Net Live here on thevolleyballnetwork.com. Don't believe our commercials. We're not on at 5 o'clock. It's not true. We're on at 10 o'clock. I don't know who.
Oh, the intern will fix that.
Yeah, exactly. Alex, we need you.
Help. Help.
We're lost. All right, Reed, I had a chance to watch this video. What an unbelievable, ridiculous home reffing job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Now, you're not just saying that to make me feel better, are you?
No, the first one, look, I can't tell the ball's in or out. It may have been a touch with the guy blocking it. The video's no good. But the second two where they call the list are unbelievable. And your reaction's fun. Everyone who's watching it, just watch Reed Pretty. Watch him in the back. It looks like somebody puts him in a bear hug after the second one, the second call. He's beside himself. It's awesome.
I definitely lost my cool, and I guess on sportbox.ru, if you were watching on there, I apologize. They had some close-up shots of me. My mom called me yesterday and was like, so what was going on? What were you saying?
She's a little disappointed, huh?
Yeah, she was a little disappointed, but I was disappointed myself. You know, you got to stay composed. And
what were you saying? It's a fan.
Oh my gosh, darn it.
Shook.
Golly gee.
Oh, shook.
I think you made a mistake, ref. Like that.
Yeah, Dukes, ref. Who has.
You know what bothers me about those lift calls and even the nets? You know, we talked about it before on those nets. You know how they're trying to let nets go? It's becoming so arbitrary. And really, when I'm thinking about the FIVB.
Yeah.
Head referees sitting around a table thinking about where do we want our game to go? How do we want to officiate this game? I know that they're thinking, what's best for the? How do we keep the integrity of the competition while at the same time make it enjoyable for the fan? And I just think
how can we stay relevant? That's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
How can we, the referees, stay relevant in the game and keep putting our nose in it?
Oh, it was just in a fifth set. You know, it's kind of like the NBA playoffs. You know, you let some stuff go. And in those plays, what gets me is both the lift by Dave and the lift by me, or the apparent lift, the alleged lift, didn't really give us an advantage. It just kept the ball in play, and it actually gave them a free ball. We would have not gotten a swing on either of those.
Yeah.
And so the other team would have had, you know, advantage to side. You know, it was. I wanted to kill people.
You're still upset. I like it.
I've let it go, but man, I'm still fired up. Like I said, sets 1 through 4 was our business. We should have taken care of it then.
I've let it go, but it's. What did you say?
But it's still on my mind. I've let it go, but I'm so upset. All right, I wanted to go a couple of notes on the AVP right before we get to Dan here, who has an AVP update for us.
Oh yeah,
I did have an opportunity to view the match and watch the final. I have a couple of comments. First of all, Misty, she's not in great playing shape. She just isn't. She's been out for a long time. She's not in great playing shape, and that's obvious because she just hasn't played. But that will come back.
Well, even she said that. She's not fully back.
Yeah, you can't expect that. But the way that she touches the ball is spectacular. I think we touched on it last week. She gets there with one hand where other players might get there with two and make a better play with one hand.
But she doesn't usually do that. It's kind of strange. I don't know why she's just one arm in these balls, and she could get two hands on these balls.
Well, maybe you should go down and talk to her. You want to go down and talk to Butch?
Yeah, maybe.
I just think her touch on the ball is great. Love the new blue. Like the blue versus the yellow.
Anything's better than yellow.
Yeah, but the blue, it's got a nice hue to it.
Yeah, it's good.
Another thing, can you turn down the ambient mic, please, once it started raining? I mean, I've been to watched plenty of football games in the rain, plenty of baseball games. You don't hear rain like pounding off the mic.
Put an umbrella over the mic.
Please. Yeah. Can we get a piece of paper or something just to take it down a little bit? It's like the whole time. It's ridiculous.
It's like gunfire in the background.
It was just horrible.
It was a gremlin eating.
Hey, and one other thing on the technical side. Can we get some tear-offs for the main camera? Can somebody, you know, go motocross style, get up there and rip one off the front of it? Because it was just hosed down by the time it started raining.
Yeah.
You could barely see.
They were in Florida. They weren't expecting rain.
Exactly. I have one question for you guys, and you'll know this better than me. Who does the rain benefit in that matchup, do you think? What type of team does it benefit?
It does not benefit Akers and Turner, that's for sure.
No? Why?
Because they're a power team, and they're an athlete team. And when the ball's heavy, you have to shoot more. The game's a lot slower, so like it benefits Misty, who sees the game slowly anyway. You know?
You don't think the sand getting hard benefits the athletes at all? They can jump a little higher? Or does it just not matter in that game that much?
I feel like that's kind of equal. That balances out for everybody, you know. Misty can jump higher, you know.
Okay.
The sand getting higher, it doesn't matter because the ball's so freaking heavy and you can't hit the ball with any pace in that kind of weather. I think the ball changes the play more than anything when it's that rainy.
Okay.
The ball's like 2 pounds.
Reader?
Well, what if you did this? What if you said, all right, I'm already sitting at second. That means the payday is pretty good. What if you said as a player, I will buy 50 balls right now.
We'll buy 50, and you just play with a new one?
And play with a new ball every point.
Interesting thought. I don't know if the AVP would have 50 balls just floating around, would they?
Maybe, I don't know.
A lot.
Just go to the store there, the Nivea AVP Tour store, and just buy as many balls as they have and go out there and say, all right, keep these dry.
All right, who does it benefit then? Do you agree with Dan here, Akers and Turner are not?
Yeah, anytime I think weather's in play, I think the more experienced, better ball control team has the advantage.
Always, especially with wind. Athletes are the worst in wind.
Interesting. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Today in beach volleyball, a little bit of history for those of you out there. Sinjin Smith and Randy Stokols won the AVP Hawaii Open. Why don't we have a Hawaii Open anymore, for crying out loud? There's got to be some reason. It was the 73rd win for Sinjin and the 49th win for Randy and the 48th for that team. Pretty good stuff. Trivia question, who did Randy Stokols win his other tournament with?
His other tournament?
Well, that at this point anyway, in 87. I don't know what the answer is. We'll have to get there on BVB and get it out. In 1998, Jose Loyola and Kent Steffes won the Miller Lite Fort Myers Open, 27th win for Loyola, and 100th win for Steffes, 14th win for that team. That's an interesting one.
Steffes.
And in 2009, Emmanuel Rigo and Ricardo Santos took down last year's Brazilian Open, and this year was taken by Dalhauser Rogers.
Booyah.
Booyah. Yeah. In what was a command performance, they had to earn it this year.
Dude, they lost like in round to fifth in the winner's bracket, and they had to play a lot of matches.
Eight.
To get back.
Eight
yeah.
matches to get back to the finals, and they went ahead and took it. Beautiful job by them. And
who did they lose to in the early rounds?
Who did they lose to, Dan? Well, I'll have to look it up. I don't remember.
It wasn't the Americans, was it? Because it wasn't it the second round that they had to play Furby?
This is where we get Geeter.
I think they beat them in the loser's bracket. It's a ninth place match.
This provoked an interesting stat for me as I was searching through BVB this morning. What year and how much money? In what year and how much did Kent Steffes make his top amount of dollars, prize money?
Kent Steffes? What
Kent
year?
Steffes. You nailed the Mike Dodd one a few weeks ago, Dan. Kent Steffes. What year? Give me the year first. What year did he make the most money?
94.
Yes. Dan Madden. How much did he make?
Let's look. Right
no,
here.
You can't cheat now. Now you're just cheating.
$469,000.
$469,000 in prize money.
That's
prize money, ladies and gentlemen. The golden days of volleyball.
Good for him.
That's crazy.
Gone forever.
All right, so in that vein, over under.
Okay.
Let's see. With Todd and Phil, how many will they win before they retire? Will they, in the next, what? Todd might be retiring, obviously, before Phil. What do you think? Is it even possible to get above 80?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that they don't win another tournament. Today. Today. They might win one next weekend. How many will they win?
What is Todd's at 50. Phil is at 40.
Okay.
If we're only talking about AVP events, then what? That's 12, 24, 48, maybe 48 opportunities in the next three seasons.
Wow, 80 is a lot. You're wondering if they get over or under 80? That's the question.
Under.
I'm going to say under. I don't think Todd lasts that long. That's a lot, just because there aren't enough events. I mean, you look back at Steffes. You have it up right now, correct?
I have it, yeah.
Steffes played, 27 tournaments one year, 24 tournaments another year? You're talking about double the amount of tournaments.
Yeah.
That's
not really fair, is it?
No, it's not. It kind of skews the statistics.
Life's not fair.
It's like looking at statistics pre-rally score and during, post rally score. You just can't have 92 attempts. You can't have, 135 assists. It just doesn't happen because the match isn't that long. I think the same thing is true with this prize money. And overall tournament victories, if the opportunities aren't there, you have no idea. I think a percentage is better. Go for the percentage.
I'm going under.
Okay. All right.
Did you guys see that Misty's, has written a book? The AP article came out with some of the excerpts from it. Did you guys see that?
I did. It seemed like a premature article. Misty didn't want that information out there yet, my understanding.
Yeah, some pretty compelling things. I think we're going to try to get her on when the appropriate release comes out. But, some pretty interesting stuff behind the scenes going on.
Yeah, it's not all roses and flowers and butterflies there behind the champion. A lot of serious family issues.
Coming out in June, right, the book?
Coming out in June. We will have Misty on. We'll have her here to talk about her book. I think it's going to be very interesting just to hear, not only you can read the book, but to hear it from her, I think is going to be interesting to hear about her experiences with her dad and with her mom.
Yeah, Andre Agassi-esque.
Yeah, it is. It's
professional stuff.
Yeah, a little bit strange.
That's what happens when you're an athlete and you write a book. You write a book because you have these stories and they're kind of crazy and they're interesting and you want to kind of get them out there. And
could you write an interesting book, Dan?
No, I could write an interesting book about somebody else.
But about you? I mean,
no, there's nothing.
Yeah?
I really like sugar.
Chapter one.
Yeah. Yeah,
I get massive headaches when I don't get enough sugar. I'm addicted.
No, it's the opposite. I get massive headaches when I eat sugar.
Really?
Oh, man.
Not massive. Reed put those words in my mouth.
Questionable calls. I've got one for you.
All right.
Why doesn't UCLA produce lots of national team talent? I want to know.
They used to, right?
When?
Are we talking about guys or girls?
Yeah, I'm talking about guys. Well, you can talk about girls, too. There have been only very few girls, but their program hasn't been at the same level on the girls' side as it has on the men's side. Women's side as on the men's side. No answers? No thoughts, huh?
I don't want to say too much about this.
Why?
I don't really know. But it would seem to be the best coaches produce the best talent. For instance, John Sprough. He's got some good guys, and then Carl McGowan from formerly of BYU.
Right.
And then
right.
Who's that Long Beach guy? We got all those guys on the team right now.
Allen something or other.
Allen Knight.
Here's what I think. I've said it before in the program. I think there are coaches that are good at utilizing talent. I think there are coaches that are good at developing talent.
Yeah.
I don't think UCLA develops talent. I think they utilize talent extremely well. They take the pieces they have, they plug them in, and they're great. But I don't think that they are maximizing players in the same way some other programs are.
You know, it's interesting you say that, too, because John Sparrow was the assistant at UCLA for a lot of years and left to go to UCI. And maybe he had a much bigger role than we thought. But no disrespect to Skater. I mean, Al Skates is one of the best volleyball minds out there, and I love his approach to the game, how he interacts with the players. He's almost like a pro coach. I think of him as like a pro coach. If we had a pro league, he'd be unbelievable at managing talent, teaching, especially he's such a great mind for blocking.
Al?
No, I'm not discounting Al at all.
It is not in the job description to produce talent. It's in your job description to win.
Exactly. But that's why I just wanted to say, what is it? What is it about it? And I think that you look at Al, you look at that program, and you say, those guys bring in pieces that fit, They put them together. They produce championships.
Yeah, they're teams. They're not just individual players.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Another question, which side of the AVP is deeper, men or women?
It's the same answer for any sport. Men.
Whoa!
Am I wrong? Like, look at
what about men's
sport.
Tennis? Women's tennis. I think women's tennis is deeper.
Tennis is kind of the exception to every rule.
Oh, it proves the rule?
Yeah.
All right, Reed.
It seems like there's a lot of men's teams that could win any week, any given weekend, any given Sunday. It doesn't seem like it's the same on the women's side. It seems like there's four or five, six teams that are going to be there. But of course, I haven't been out there, so I'm not being fair to them. But off the top of my head, I would say men.
Here's how I judge AVP stuff like this, superlative stuff. You take out the top teams, the top one, the number one team.
Okay.
You take out the number one team because they're usually the exception.
Okay.
So then you take everybody else and you kind of grade them on that. And so right now the women's side is actually kind of deep, and that's only because Carrie's out. And so the teams are kind of shifted, and no one really knows. They're all kind of similar. So Jen and April are the second best team, and they might end up being the best team.
Okay.
Down from that, you know.
I'm going to say
the men.
Yeah. I'm going to say the men is a little bit deeper at the moment. But one of the interesting things about the AVP and about beach volleyball is that what you just touched on, if you have a partnership breakup, we've talked about some of the changes that might come in the middle of the season. If you have a partnership that breaks up, all of a sudden the women's side could become deeper because of the combinations that develop. I think it's one of the things that makes beach volleyball intensely interesting. Reed, get to our last one.
Does Hans Stolfus get bonus pool money if he hits new word count records?
Wow.
He has a gift. Let me just throw that out there, that he has a gift of...
He's a writer in the sense that he writes a lot.
He can just write and write and write.
Words.
And write. And write.
I really like it, though. I will say, I mean, I'm joking in this questionable call, but... I really like the content that the AVP is putting out. It's much more in-depth than it used to be. Canyon's chiming in. Of course, you've got Hans at the event. You've got people that are reporting, and I think that's a huge step in the right direction, and I'm stoked on it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I read Canyon's article. I think it is great that they're telling the story better of what's happening and kind of giving you an on-the-ground assessment of what's happening. We had a question come in from Rob Blazoff into our website, or into our email account, and he was wondering, he wanted to take his kids to an event. He was looking at taking them to Chicago or to Mason. Which one is better if you're going to take the family, take the kids for an event? I'm going to choose Chicago. I've never been to Mason, but I'm going to choose Chicago because I love Chicago.
I've been to Mason. It's fun, and the players love it because it's a great atmosphere with the crowd.
Okay.
But there's no difference for the crowd if you're a fan, except for you're at a beach in Chicago. You're in Chicago instead of Mason, Ohio. No offense. But Ohio gets ripped on all the time, so whatever. And the Chicago one is like the player's favorite place to play.
That's a great city. It's a great venue.
Yeah.
Awesome time to be there.
Yeah. Chicago.
That's the thing. Instead of I played in the Cincy event before, and it is an awesome venue. I mean, it's no joke. I mean, it's a tennis facility that they just basically replaced the tennis court with sand, and I think it creates an infrastructure that is very fan friendly, extremely player friendly, because no longer are you in a player's tent, you know, hosing off with an 8-ounce bottle of water. You know, you've got a shower, you've got locker rooms, you've got a big screen, and it feels professional. But I think the Mason event is pretty special, too. But definitely, I mean, Chicago.
Yeah, but you're talking about if you're taking a family. If you're taking a family to an event, you want to be somewhere, have it be a fun event, but then surrounded by something.
The Ohio one, if you're taking a family, might be a lot less hassle.
Might be less expensive.
Yeah.
Plus, it might be a better product. I mean, isn't there always just crazy wind in Chicago?
No.
And I know that Die Hard, no? Every time I've been there, there's been wind in the afternoons. It's
Because Chicago doesn't like
super windy.
It totally depends on the day. You never know with the Midwest. Stuff just comes rolling across that flat prairie. Mm-hmm. You're in trouble. Dan, fill us in on the AVP. You said you have a couple more information.
Well, I have info. My roommate, Andrew Fuller, 6'10", has been in the main draw a few times. He just picked up Anthony Medell for Santa Barbara. Anthony Medell, who's been out of partner. Breaking news. Yeah. Well, Hans broke it this morning. But I'm not reading it from Hans's article. I know this firsthand. So, yeah, playing in Santa Barbara. Anthony Medell tore his Achilles in November and mm-hmm. is coming back. A lot of people are a little bit worried about Medell and the injury, saying he's coming back too early. But Medell's from Santa Barbara, played in Santa Barbara, and he wants to make it out. He wants to come back, and, you know, who's to tell him no? Who's to tell him no? So he's gotten Andrew Fuller, who's an up-and-coming player, and we'll see how they do.
How does he feel about wearing a bear suit?
You know what? I want Fuller to wear a bear suit anytime he plays volleyball.
I want Medell to wear a bear suit, team bear suit. See if ask Fuller if his mom can make another one for Medell.
He should wear a hunter suit.
Yeah, that would be good. Wear the red cap, the red checkered cap. Be good. Anything else, Dan, on that? No?
Hans has an article all about irony, but I didn't see any actual irony in it. No offense.
Boy, you're just picking Hans apart today.
I didn't pick
all
Hans
over
apart.
Hans.
I didn't pick Hans apart.
Hans. You know,
I think it's
surprised
fun.
He hasn't called in. Maybe he's doing something there over at the AVP, working on another article. I want to touch on one more thing. We talked about character. We talked about the NFL draft and the selection of character and players and so on. What do you think about the Ben Roethlisberger punishment and his conduct over the last couple of years as it relates to volleyball?
What?
Well, as
so
it relates to if you're running volleyball.
Escapes a sexual harassment lawsuit because it would be...
A rape charge.
Yeah, it'd be too invasive for the girl to go into a trial. So he escapes. And so what? The NFL kind of tries to play morality police. I don't like that.
I
don't like the statement that Roger Goodell issued about the thing trying to tell him what to do. I don't think you should tell Roethlisberger what to do. You can kick him out of the league. That's fine. You have the right to do that, but tell him how to behave. I don't know.
I disagree. I think this guy's got a pattern. You know, he's out there doing stupid stuff frequently.
You can tell him what he can't do. Or what will get him kicked out of the league, but you can't tell him not to do it.
Well, okay, fine. That's true. You can't stop him from doing it. You can only punish him afterwards.
Well, he's like giving him like a lecture.
Yeah, maybe he needs it.
Not from Roger Goodell, from his dad or something. I don't know.
Roger Goodell's like the father of the league. You see him getting hugs at the NFL draft? Everybody's all over. He's the papa, dude. All
right, yeah.
Yeah, he's the papa.
I think his whole stance is that he's saying that to play in the NFL – it's a privilege. It's not a right.
Yeah.
And that comes with certain behavioral and professional, you know, specifications. And if you're going to jeopardize that, then you know, I think this suspension is – I mean, it's no joke being suspended for 4 to 6 games in an NFL season when you only have, what, 13 regular season games?
16. Thanks.
16?
NFL. Yeah, Reed.
What?
So – By the way, when's the last time you wore your Michael Vick jersey?
I don't have a Michael Vick jersey. I have a Ron Jaworski jersey.
Joss.
And I will be happy to wear it.
Jaworski jersey.
The Polish rifle. I will be happy to wear that down to the training center down there in Anaheim, and Tom Hoff will give me endless grief about it.
I have Michael Vick sneakers from like 5 years ago.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of another lovely episode of the Net Live. We want to give you things to watch this week. Reed, what should we watch?
You should watch. You guys should wake up at 5 a.m. and watch the live streamed event Pacific Standard Time on sportbox.ru of our third match of the playoff series against Belgrade. It's going to be off the hook. The place is going to be bananas.
Nice.
You going to win?
I am very hopeful.
Hopeful.
It depends on the ref.
Hopeful.
No, it has nothing to do with the ref.
All right.
But I'm very hopeful. I think it's an awesome opportunity, and I'm going to die trying.
All right, we'll get the link up there. Sportbox.ru is the place. I did watch it stream live. It was a lot of fun, pretty good. pretty good streaming. Dan, what about you? Something this week, anything? AVP?
Yeah, I'm going to Santa Barbara. We're selling our Kinda Good gear in the merch tent. It should be awesome.
Nice.
New Kinda Good website should be launching this week. I've never said it on the air, but it's going to be there.
All right, well, check it out, kindagood.com. They've got good stuff. Or check them out at Santa Barbara. It's going to be a fun event. Glad to see weekend number two taking off for the AVP. I'm going to say,
can we get Dan a flip camera?
We need to
get, can we get Dan working on these weekends?
Yeah, we definitely need a Kinda Good report. We need a Kinda Good video put up on the site.
You got
on our site about your sales, you and Billy.
I have an iPod Nano with video. It's actually, I think it's better than flip.
Perfect. Perfect. You and Billy in the tent pitching it, or just hugging maybe.
What did you say?
I didn't say pitching a tent, pitching it in the tent.
All right. I've only been in the player tent once. I don't allow myself in.
I'm talking about the Kinda Good tent.
Okay.
Billy modeling.
That's an umbrella.
All right, Kevin, what are you going to be watching?
No, I'm going to be watching the same stuff.
It's just getting weird.
I'm going to be watching Supercross. I'm going to be watching the AVP.
Go up to Santa Barbara. Are you coming? You
got
to come for a day.
I've got birthday weekend. I have three birthday parties and a poker game on the weekend.
What are you doing on Friday? It's an hour and a half. What are you doing on Friday?
On Friday, I don't know.
You're going to the AVP.
Oh, no, I do know. I have a photo shoot. I'm going to be up in... where am I? By Valencia. Gonna be in Valencia doing a video shoot.
Dude, go to Santa Barbara.
I'm gonna be there all day in USA Volleyball gear, not breaking out the jersey. Hopefully, once again, putting on the warm ups, doing some green screen work, doing some hops sports education programming, some physical education programming, volleyball themed with USA Volleyball.
What?
Yeah, I'll be up there with Karch.
Is he going to be wearing a jersey?
Oh, man, this is going to be awesome. It's like toe-to-toe.
Oh,
yeah, I cannot wait to see the film from this.
Karch and Hugh are going to be up there. They're going to be doing a PSA for volleyball, and I'm going to be up there with, who else is going to be there?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. It'll be fun. Hop Sports, they do a lot of really good stuff, really good programs for high school, grade school education, middle school education. So we'll see how it all turns out. That's my whole Friday. I was supposed to be doing ice cream social up at the kids' school, but I had to cancel that.
Oh, Mr. Mom.
But I'll be in charge of ice cream social. And I'll be coaching the Eagles, hopefully, to their first win of the season coming up next weekend.
All right, then Sunday we'll
we're
0-6.
All right. We'll check.
Did Rob say that the NCAA Final Four is this weekend or next weekend?
Next weekend. MPSF is on Thursday.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Finals are on Saturday. And then
the Champions League Final Four is this weekend as well, and I think you can watch that on
laolatv.com.
TV, if you want to watch the Champions League Final Four this weekend.
Excellent. Hey, it's been good. We appreciate you joining us for yet another Net Live. Next week, Geeter will be back. We're hoping to sign Dave Williams on, and we'll see about getting some other great guests and talking more about the world of volleyball and all the things you love. This has been another great episode on the Net Live, LiveOnNetwork.com. See you soon.